We're reading together in Paul's letter to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians chapter 1, and reading from verse 1. And you will find that on page 1173 in the Pew Bible. Just a word before we begin. Paul uses a phrase in this passage. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons. Now, we are in an age when folk become very precious about inclusive language. And there are one or two translations that have adopted as his children, which is not at all helpful. Because Paul is using a technical phrase, a legal phrase, which was to do with the adoption of sons. He does not use this to the exclusion of daughters. As you read through the epistle, he has much to say about daughters, about women, about man and woman together. And they are included in Paul's mind. In that phrase, which is a legal phrase, and it has to be said correctly, the adoption of sons. So please do not sit and be offended by his language this morning. So then, let's read together. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. Amen. And may God bless his word to us. This chapter of Ephesians is a wonderful chapter. And in the Greek, it's almost all one sentence. I think there is just one sentence break in it. And I cannot help but imagine Paul in his prison cell, so overcome by the glory and the wonder of God in his redeeming grace that his praise comes out like a waterfall. not stopping for breath, no sentence breaks. And Tychicus, his scribe, you can just imagine him trying to keep up with it all. There is just so much in it. And we are going to look just at one verse, and that's verse 4. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In my early 20s, I was very much involved with a church in Drumchapel, and we had a little girl called Katie Ann who came to our youth group. She was really too young to come, but she was just absolutely lovely, and she loved it so much, she became a sort of mascot to us. She was just transitioning from primary into secondary. And her parents came and spoke to me, and they explained that she was adopted, but she did not know that. And really, it was time for them to tell her, and they had tried to tell her, and they had never quite got there because they were frightened of breaking her heart. And so they said, could you tell her? So one evening I visited, and Mum and Dad went into the kitchen, and I sat with Katie Ann, and I tried to come at it from this direction and that direction, and I fumbled. And isn't it lovely to have such a lovely Mum and Dad? And then Katie Ann said, are you trying to tell me I'm adopted? And I nodded, and I'll never forget what she said. She said, oh, I know, I've always known. I don't know how I knew, but I know. And isn't it wonderful? My mum and dad didn't just get me, they chose me. Paul says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't it wonderful that you can sit here this morning and say with Katie Ann, my father didn't just get me, he chose me. And it's a very special word for chose, for choice, a kind of choosing. I wonder if you've ever stood by a lakeside or by the seashore and skimmed stones across the water. I'm an expert at this. I have done it often with my son, and he still can't skim stones better than I can. Everything else he can do better than me, but he can't skim stones. Because I know the secret, and maybe you've learned the secret. The secret is to be very careful about the stones that you throw. It needs to lie within your hand to comfortably rest between thumb and forefinger so that you can turn it as you throw it. It needs to be a flat stone with some curvature on the bottom and ideally very round. And if you can get one where it feels most of the weight is in the center, that is good. So you spend your time choosing your stone. It's a discriminating choice. And that's the kind of word that Paul is using here. He chose us. A discriminating choice from all the possibilities that there might have been. He chose you. Isn't that wonderful? Among the many things that I hated at school, grammar was by far the worst. Algebra came second, but grammar was by far the worst. But grammar is important, and it's very important when you're reading Greek. This particular word, chos, is in the aorist tense. And that tells us that it's referring to something which was a definite decision made in the past and completed in the past. He chose you. From all of the possibilities, a discriminating choice. And that choice was made in the past and settled in the past. That's important for us to know because it tells us that it's not dependent upon anything in us. A decision completed before any sins you ever committed, or before any merit you ever earned, before you were conscious of your sin, before your first infant cry, before you kicked in the womb, before the worlds were made and history began to roll, before God said, "Let there be light." He had chosen you. And the matter was settled. Isn't that wonderful? You see the security that we have in God. Remember how Jesus came to his disciples and said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and called you to bear much fruit." Of course, the disciples had made a decision. They had made a decision to follow Jesus. And they had chosen to do that. But that was a consequence of him having chosen them. And if you are a Christian this morning, you will have made a decision to follow Jesus Christ as your Lord. And I hope you renew that decision every morning. But all of those decisions are a consequence of the Lord having chosen you. It all begins with him. And it begins with him before the worlds were made. Isn't it wonderful to know that? To know that you are his because he made a discriminating choice and chose you. It does not depend upon anything in you. Depends upon him alone. Isn't it wonderful to know that his love for you is a discriminating love? You are irreplaceable to the Lord Jesus Christ. He chose us in him before the creation of the world. And secondly, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. Now that word, predestined and predestination, can cause all kinds of stooshies. So it's important to take time and understand what that word really means. The Greek word that Paul uses is proorathos. And it means to mark out a boundary, to set limits beforehand. And what is a boundary? A boundary is a claim to ownership. What Paul is saying is that in his love, God set a boundary around his peoples. He set a boundary around you. A boundary that described his ownership of you. We might say that before all eternity, God ring-fenced you as his own. And you see the element of protection that there is in that. God ring-fenced you as his own, and all the powers of evil and all the powers upon this earth cannot touch you. God says, I have chosen this one as mine. God says, I have chosen you as mine. Do not touch. Do not wound. Do not harm. For this belongs to me. Isn't that wonderful? He is the Lord who has chosen us. And he is the Lord who has predestined us. And thirdly, he is the Lord who has adopted us. You are predestined to be adopted as his son through Jesus Christ. Now that phrase, adopted as his son, was used among the Greeks and the Romans, and in a different way among the Hebrews. I wonder if any of you are old enough to remember Charlton Heston in Ben-Hur. There is one honest lady in this congregation, and that's all. But you remember the story in Ben-Hur, how Ben-Hur is adopted by Arius. He becomes the son of Arius, the slave who can now walk through the Roman world with dignity, and no one is going to touch him, because he is the son of Arius. Paul's phrase would have meant much in the Greek and the Roman world. But it meant something different in the Hebrew world. In the Hebrew world, there is no concept of adoption. Jewish children were never adopted. If your parents died, the wider family took you in. That whole process of adoption that we recognize, that was used in the Roman and Greek world, was foreign in Israel. But within the Hebrew world, there was a time when a son came of age. And the phrase for that was, the son was set forth. That's the phrase that Paul is using. It was, if you like, one of those transitions in life that we are accustomed to. When a child becomes 18, it's one of these moments. When the child becomes 21, it's another one of these moments. And we have a party and we celebrate. It's a transition in their life, and their relationship with us changes. They are no longer just our children, but they are adults with us. And it's a little like that in the Hebrew world. The son would be born into the family. That's what makes it different from the Roman picture. The son is born into the family. The son grows up under the tutelage and the government of his father. The father trains him in his trade. The son becomes an apprentice. The son may even take a wife, but it's the father's decision, not the son's. Until it comes to that place, usually about the age of 30, where the father will take his son and set him publicly in place. This is my son. And he is mature. He is independent. And that's the phrase that Paul is using. I wonder if there's an echo of that in the gospel. When Jesus was about 30 years old, and he went to the Jordan and was baptized by John, and the Father said, "This is my Son." And the picture that Paul suggests is that we who are the children of God are predestined. We are ring-fenced. We are protected. Nothing can harm us. Nothing can touch us. But we are moving to that place where we will have come to our maturity, and God will declare before the heavens and the earth and all the angels in heaven and all the devils in hell, "This is my son." That's the, if you want to use the word, the adoptive moment. That everything is moving towards. And why? Why should that be the case? Well, we are told very simply that it is because he loves us. In love, he predestined us to be his sons. Not because you are lovely or lovable, but because he has made a discriminating choice and chosen you and predestined you. And is taking you to that moment. Because he has loved us. You get something of the heartbeat of this passage when you think about that phrase, "as his sons." It really means, and so it is in the Greek, as sons to himself. He's not just declaring that we are sons before the heavens and the earth. He's adopting us, he's choosing us, he's bringing us as sons and daughters to himself. It's a face-to-face thing. There's a sense of movement in it. You can almost picture a hug. The Apostle John, at the beginning of his Gospel, speaks of the Word, and he says that the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the phrase there in the Greek is that the Word was with, in the sense of towards God. In all eternity, the Word was towards God. Father, Son, facing one another, in perfect fellowship. And later John in his letter will write that we are called in to the fellowship, the one-to-oneness of the Father and the Son, and we become part of that. This whole process of choosing and protecting and bringing to sonship is all about His love for you. He just doesn't just have you, but He loves you. And that is how He loves you. And I think we need to know that. Paul sends this letter to those who are in Ephesus and in Christ Jesus. They are both. You and I are in Mulgai. We are in Bearsden or wherever, but we are also in Christ Jesus. You and I are in this world with all its troubles and all its cares and all its problems and all its stresses, but we are also in Christ Jesus. I think Paul wants us to know that this morning. Maybe sometimes you feel confined and hemmed and restricted. Maybe sometimes you feel forgotten. Maybe sometimes you feel utterly hopeless. But that's not who you are. You are in Christ. And He chose you. And He ring fences you. And He will bring you to His throne and declare you His child. That's who you are. And isn't it wonderful? Heavenly Father, bless Your word to us, we pray. And may we be encouraged. Amen.